Not Your Power Couple, Ken and Carol Cook, are not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests or even our listeners. The information contained on this program or website is not medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement. We always encourage you to do your own research. Hello again, Collin County. This is Ken Cook, and this is Not Your Power Couple. I'm here with my wife, Carol.
Hello.
And our special guest today, Kim Lassiter, who is running for the 401st District Judge position in Collin County. How are you doing, Kim?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
So we are very excited to have you here with us today. Talk to us and the listeners about you and why you're running for judge.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me. So my name is Kim Lassiter. I am a Prosper resident currently. I've lived in McKinney with my family, Jason, my three children, James, Jack, and Abigail, for about 15 years. Before Prosper, we lived in McKinney. I went to Baylor undergraduate, where I received a psychology degree, and then I went to Texas Tech Law, Reckham, and graduated. I've been a prosecutor and a solo practitioner for about 17 years. And I'm running for judge really because my entire career has been spent in the courtroom, relying on judges to do the right thing, to make the right calls, to be hardworking. And because I've relied on that and because my career has really prepared me, I want to now do that for other people.
Well, all right. So let's talk about your focus on public safety and how that marries with your sense of compassion as well.
Sure. So the 401st District Court really, it's a general jurisdiction court. And I say that it handles three things: felonies, finances, and family. So family law, civil law, and then felonies. When it relates to some of the most difficult and sometimes violent cases in our community, you really have to have a judge that is willing to look at public safety. But at the same time, you have to understand with felonies, finances, and a family that you have to have compassion. You have to understand that people coming before this court will be facing the most difficult thing in their lives. And in my career, I really have focused on that compassionate piece as well as the public safety. As an assistant district attorney, I helped develop the nation's first ever opioid treatment program, where we helped people stuck in the criminal justice system with addiction really find a way to break that cycle and ultimately to have their cases dismissed and their records expunged once they were successful. Now, on the other side, as a criminal defense attorney, I've been selected to sit on the adult mental health court, where, again, as citizens are charged with a crime, but they're in the criminal justice system due to a mental health issue, they can go through this court and ultimately not only receive a lot of compassion and a group that really surrounds them to ensure that they don't enter the criminal justice system again, but ultimately their case can be dismissed and fully cleared from their record at the end.
I really love that. I think mental health issues affect so many people in so many different ways, and the ability to have compassion to get them help, but to also protect the community at the same time, that's a very admirable thing.
Thank you.
So you do have a heart for public service. Let's share with everyone the ways that you serve the community in your personal life and in your professional career.
Well, we really make this something that's important to our whole family. So my husband, Jason, was in the Marine Corps when we met. He was in the reserves and has always believed in serving the community and stepping up to a role. Additionally, my husband and I, especially when my children were young, we were Sunday school teachers for a number of years with our middle son. But on top of that, I've been a part of Junior League in the community. Recently, I was honored to be the mock trial coach for my eighth grade sons.
Fun.
very fun, especially when you talk about teenagers. But for his school, and they did wonderfully. They actually made it to the championship round and we're so proud to bring home to bring home a trophy to the school.
So you mentioned here that you've got the Cut It Out initiative. That's fascinating to me. Talk about that a little bit.
So under Greg Willis, I was so proud to work with him because he does focus on public safety, but he also believes it's really important to have the community one, know about what's going on, but to equip and empower the community to assist victims as it relates to crime. So while I worked for Greg Willis, the Cut It Out Initiative was a program where we actually went into salons and we talked to salon professionals about how to recognize, respond, and refer when they had victims of domestic violence in their chair. So a really great program. We went to numerous different places. He helped and sponsored a lunch where we invited many, many local hair salon professionals to come in, and we did the training there. And then after, we were invited many times throughout the community to train in salons as well.
I have never heard of that program until now, and I think that is absolutely amazing. You know, women get in the chair and they spill everything to their hairstylist.
It's so true. And it's important for the person to, and they are always so compassionate and wonderful listeners, but it's important for them to have the tools that they need to be helpful for that next step. If you think about it as well, if a woman is getting her hair done for an hour or several hours, a lot of time the abuser has dropped them off and it's a safe location. Mm-hmm. And so the wonderful thing is that that person kind of is their safe confidant for that hour or 2 hours. And I'll tell you, one of the other impressive things about that program was how many salon professionals came up to me or our partner trainers and said, "Kim, gosh, I suffered from domestic violence as well. And I'm so grateful for this program because I've always wondered, did I do enough?" And now I can look back on what I suffered and also see, hey, I can use my training now to help someone else, which is a really powerful training and way to equip them further.
So tell us about the depth and breadth of your experience as well as your years on the job. I know you have quite a bit. So
for 17 years, I've been a lawyer. I consider myself a trial lawyer. Like I said, I have been in the courtroom and have been sought out on both sides as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney and a solo practitioner. I've practiced in two different counties as an assistant district attorney. In Denton County for a number of years, I was a felony prosecutor. That's a high-level prosecutor where all I did was prosecute severe child abuse. So some of my first cases as a felony prosecutor were child sexual abuse and child murders. Once I left Denton County, I was honored to come work for District Attorney Greg Willis, and here I was a chief felony prosecutor. What that means is a high-level assistant district attorney who actually supervises full teams of prosecutors and investigators. I was a chief prosecutor in our Collin County District Attorney's Office in the domestic violence unit, the mental health unit, and then later in the misdemeanor trial division.
So I actually took, as I mentioned to you previously, I took the Collin County Citizens Prosecutor class a couple of years ago with Greg Willis. And I think the most difficult class night was about the child abuse. And I don't know how you as prosecutors do that. I mean, that's tough. That's really, really hard work to listen to those stories. I mean, thank you for doing that because you are the voice for the children. That's great. But man, that's tough.
You know, people have asked me throughout my career, doing child abuse and then moving into domestic violence, where in both cases, you are speaking up for people who, you know, whether it be one occasion or many occasions, weren't able to speak up for themselves. And they say, "Kim, how did you deal with it? Or why would you want to do that?" And truly, especially those two positions that I was honored to be in, they were some of the most impactful to me. When, you know, a victim of domestic violence would come up to me after a trial and hug me with tears in her eyes and say, "Thank you. I didn't think this would ever stop." Or a child would hug my neck and say, "I can sleep better tonight," because that person that's hurt me for so long is going away and I know they can't get to me anymore. So certainly tough, especially as my children were very young, but some of the most meaningful work, and I still remain really grateful for the things that those very courageous victims taught me.
So it says, I see here in June, or since June, you've been sought out by some of the most well-respected defense attorneys in North Texas to try cases. Talk about that a little bit.
So one of my last major cases that I tried in Collin County was a 3-week-long murder trial. There was a team of wonderful prosecutors and a team of very talented and respected defense attorneys that tried that case on the other side. Many, many pretrial hearings, many expert witnesses, and I was honored by one of the defense attorneys on that team who called me up and said, "Kim, I'd like for you to be on my defense team," when I left in June of 2022. And truly, he said that he admired and respected my work ethic and my ability and my skill in the courtroom. And even though we had kind of battled it out in the courtroom for weeks before that, it was an honor because it's one thing to be endorsed by your allies, but it's certainly another thing when your adversaries step up and say, "That's the kind of person I want on my team," or more importantly, "That's the kind of person I want on the bench."
That's quite the remarkable endorsement. I mean, that's an amazing story. So the 401st District Court is a trial court. Share a little information about your courtroom experience.
Absolutely. So just before I came to Collin County in 2016, I had already tried over 100 cases to a jury. They were criminal cases mostly, but because of my time with the child abuse unit, I had also tried family law cases. I had been involved already in protective orders, which are family law cases. I had tried cases to a jury involving parental termination, where these children were neglected and abused. And that's just until 2016. When I came to Collin County in 2016, I supervised the domestic violence unit, which also included protective orders. So again, family law experience there and dealing with civil cases and family law cases. I have actually trained attorneys and law enforcement statewide on courtroom evidence and procedure and advanced trial advocacy. So I have pretty extensive experience in the courtroom. When I left the DA's office in June of 2022, in just the first year that I left, I tried 8 jury trials on the other side as well. So again, it's important to have a judge that understands both sides and can look at all areas of a case and doesn't automatically come down harsh or automatically come down too lenient.
So also, let's focus on your administrative experience. Tell us more about why that is important as a candidate for judge.
So a judge does need to be skilled in the courtroom, needs to, I always think of a judge as a referee, someone that calls balls and strikes and isn't swayed by which team is playing. So no matter who comes before a judge, they need to know the law and know what to do correctly based on their rule of law. But on top of that, a judge outside of the courtroom manages a court staff, a court reporter, a deputy who's in charge of the courtroom safety, and a court administrator who's really in charge of so many things, including scheduling and otherwise. As it relates to administrative and supervisory experience, while I was a chief felony prosecutor in Collin County, like I said, I supervised multiple different divisions. The largest division that I supervised was 20 lawyers, 7 investigators, and 4 secretaries. You have to be able to understand people. You have to...
That's a lot of personality.
It's a lot of... Especially when you think about attorneys, you know. And these were some of the youngest attorneys. And so training had to be involved. Compassion had to be involved. And then not only that, but looking at case logs. As it relates to the supervisory experience that a judge needs, a judge has to be willing to look at their docket and see ways where they can be more efficient. There are people behind each of these cases, and there are attorneys, and there's money being spent, and there are important decisions that hang in the balance. So a judge has to be willing to look at the cases coming in and the cases going out, and are there ways to move those more efficiently? And I was able to do that in each of the divisions where I was, the misdemeanor trial division, even during COVID. And so we were training some of the newest and youngest attorneys, but still needing to be able to show that justice was being served. When I was chief of the domestic violence unit, we came in and there was quite a significant backlog. And so we had to look at, how do we work the cases that are already indicted and ensure that justice is served while also moving the cases that haven't been filed yet? So I have extensive experience doing that as well.
So what kind of connections do you have with law enforcement, and how do you think that will help you as a judge to protect the community?
So spending so long as a prosecutor, I have worked extensively with the police, whether it be working a case up for trial, during trial, or like I said, statewide training by law enforcement and with law enforcement. While I was an assistant DA, I noticed that we needed to develop a better relationship between our domestic violence unit and the patrol officers that were out on the streets. How do we strengthen those cases? And so while I was chief of the domestic violence unit, we instituted patrol briefings where our prosecutors actually went early in the morning as police officers were going on shift to talk about the things that we're looking for as we file cases. We call it evidence-based prosecution. And so when the police are able to collect evidence that's strong to do justice for a victim of domestic violence, it takes a lot of the pressure off of the victim to then feel like he or she is the one that has to be the one to prosecute.
So I want to give you this last opportunity to kind of share. Is there anything else you want to share with your listeners? I know you want to share your website.
Absolutely. It's www.lassiterforjudge.com. That's LASETERFORjudge.com. Please go to my website. Like I said, I'm really proud of the endorsements that I've received because it's not just names. Behind my name, people have really taken the time to talk about why they're supporting me and what experience they've seen that matters, excuse me, that qualifies me for this position. Certainly, I hope everyone will get out to vote. Election day is May 28th of this race. Early voting is May 20th to the 24th. So please check out my website. Let me know if you have questions, and certainly come join us. We are building a team and we have new endorsements coming every single day. And I'm really proud of the work that we've done and we'll continue working hard until election day.
Kim, thank you so much for coming on to record with us today. I'm very impressed with you. I met you, a couple of months ago at the speed dating for the candidates at Cottonwood Creek. And it was, number one, that was a great event. But when you sat down at the table, I was extremely impressed with you and wanted to seek you out. So I was glad that we were able to find the time to do this podcast for you. Just as another reminder, the primary runoff is Tuesday, May 28th. That's the final day of voting. Early voting is May 20th to the 24th. Not to be confused with municipal city elections, where that will be on May 4th. So thank you for coming on again with us today. We hope you had a good time. And everyone, just go check out Kim Lassiter for Judge. Thank you for listening to Not Your Powerful Couple podcast today.